that's not going to disappear in a moment. Well, good morning, and I'm delighted to be with you this morning because it feels quite a long time since I was. So if you've forgotten who I am, I'm Mary. We'll start with notices. There's a few of them. Hopefully you've all got a pew sheet, so most of the main ones are in there. I just wanted to point out a couple of things that are coming up you might like to make sure you've got in your diary. The first one is that there's pancakes. Yes, we're coming around to that time of year again. So there's pancakes on Tuesday, the 21st of February, which will be in the sanctuary. And then the rearranged quiz, which is now given the grand title of Quiz and Fizz,
absolutely,
is on the 18th of March, and that will be at Tyler's Green Village Hall. More details next week, so watch this space, I think. Please read the other bits and pieces that are there. I'm going to promote that I'm hoping that I'll be able to run a Lent course with you for the five Wednesdays of March, starting on the 1st. There's an insert in your newsletter about it. So if you're interested, can you please let Gail know? Because I do need a minimum of five, really, to make it so those who come along actually get the most out of it as well. So please let Gail know. And also the big thing I probably need to make reference to is that this coming Thursday, with the long-winded process of getting a new vicar, which you've probably noticed, there is something grand called a Section 12 meeting, which will be taking place this Thursday at 7:30 in the sanctuary. And that is open to everyone, although only PCC members will be able to vote, but you are welcome to come along to that. And that the purpose of that meeting will be to actually formally approve our parish profile. And this is the document which will appear on our website and will be available to all interested candidates. It says everything you need to know in order to or they need to know in order to decide whether to make a formal application to us. It will also approve the details of the advert, and that will go into the Church Times and a couple of other publications, but not Dalton's Weekly, which is where and the places that candidates would normally look. So that's something to bear in mind. If you wish to come along, you're welcome to do so. I think that's all the notices I need to do. So this morning, we welcome Annette, who will be preaching for us this morning. We thank Deborah for playing the organ for us. Ruth will be giving Catherine Grudgeon's intercessions for us. And then Roger and Chris will be reading from scriptures for us. So let's get going, I think. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
So if you please like to stand, we'll sing our first hymn, 316, Just As I Am.
Thank you.
please like to sit or kneel for a moment. So we have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the life of others, and the life of the world.
May the Lord forgive you, Christ in you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Before God, with the people of God, we confess our brokenness, to the ways we wound our lives, the lives of us, and the life of the world.
May God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. And our comment for today, which is the second Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And if you'd please like to sit, Roger and Chris will come read from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, beginning to read at verse 1, and is headed, "The Servant of the Lord." Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you different distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says. "I, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes,
to the Church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God, thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And just before Annette comes and preaches for us, we have our second hymn, There is a Redeemer, number 544. So if you please like to stand for that.
The Gospel is written in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. Jesus, the Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen, and I testify, that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Here ends the gospel. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Now, if you were able to focus for that whole reading, you'll realise there's a lot in it. I'm just going to take the very, very last bit of it to talk about this morning. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the last few verses, we read when a man called John the Baptist and some of his disciples were in exactly the right place at the right time. Jesus was passing by, and as he always did, he stopped. And he changed people's lives forever. Andrew was already a disciple of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was out there in the wilderness near the Jordan River, some 50 miles from the capital of Jerusalem. He was a bit of a religious hermit, and he was a very strict Jew. He was out there in the wilderness just praying to God. But Jesus had come out into that wilderness to be baptized by John. And John was able to say to Andrew very clearly, "He is the one. He is the Lamb of God, and he will change the whole world." Now I wonder, if I'd have asked you last week to sit and write down the names of all the disciples, I wonder whether you'd have even thought about Andrew. He's not necessarily one that's usually at the top of the list. You'd probably think, first of all, of Simon Peter, possibly James and John. We know about Simon Peter, and Simon Peter's one of my favourite disciples, probably because he often got things wrong. He was impulsive. He often spoke or acted before he thought about things, but actually Jesus always forgave him. It didn't matter what he said, what he did. He always had that forgiveness. And I always think that's quite a nice thing to know. But who else was there? So James and John, again. Two people with hot, thunderous tempers. So people with tempers can become disciples. John was quite a philosophical type. He was filled with love, and he finally took that responsibility for Mary. Those three were mentioned on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were there in the Garden of Gethsemane. So who else do we remember? Yes, Matthew, probably, the tax collector. Thomas, the one who doubts. And obviously, Judas, who betrayed. But Andrew is just quietly there in the background. He's often referred to just as Simon Peter's brother. He doesn't even have his own sort of acknowledgement of him on his own. But actually, this morning's reading shows us how important a disciple he was. Because actually, we need the Andrews to be disciples. Somebody like Andrew could be a person riding downtown on the bus with you. He could even be the bus driver. He could be a taxi driver. He might work at the till in a supermarket. He might be the person who cuts your hair. Maybe he's the person at the bank. But he is around all the time. And he is the person who brings other people to Jesus. We need to be aware of the Andrews of this world, because they are the people who live their lives as an example of Christ. And they are the ones who do everything to bring other people to Christ. So the day after Jesus' baptism, John tells the two disciples that Jesus is the Lamb of God. So they immediately ran after Jesus. They wanted to see for themselves. They catch him up. They have a conversation. And after that conversation, Andrew immediately runs off to find his brother. When Jesus meets Peter, he gives him a new name, Rock. And Peter will do so much telling, he'll be the foundation on which the church will be built. But nothing would have happened. Peter would not have been that rock without Andrew first bringing him to Jesus in the first place. As we read this story, it's that cycle of listening, telling, and then retelling that's the story of discipleship. Telling is experiencing. Excuse me. Telling is having that experience again, but then giving it to someone else. Telling is shining a light that shows a particular way, and then you walk along that way together. What are you looking for? Jesus says in one of the versions of the Bible. This is not just a casual question. Jesus could be asking, what are you looking for in life? What do you really want out of life? What we are all looking for, without really knowing it, is a place to stay. A place to remain always. And Jesus is that place. A person who himself is a home, a place to belong, a whole way of life. Jesus knows that what the disciples really want is a place to belong. Whatever he sees on the face of those two men as they run down after him down the street, whatever he sees, he turns round and says to them, is the right thing at the right time. Come and see. They go with him. They end up staying. And his story becomes their way of life. So Andrew spent that whole day with Jesus. The story suggests that Jesus and his friends and Andrew were there overnight as well. We don't know what they talked about. We don't know what happened in those 24 hours. But for Andrew, just being in the presence of God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of Jesus, transformed him, and he became a disciple. And he straight away went to find his big brother. Andrew did not try and convert his big brother. He did not try and change him. He did not even try and convince him. Because Andrew knew that if he brought Peter to the presence of Jesus, his brother would be transformed in exactly the same way that he was. Andrew had been transformed by Christ, and Andrew brought his brother to Jesus, and he was transformed by Christ. As you leave today, I'd like you to think about going out shining a light, bringing Jesus to someone else. And I close with a story. This is a woman who had just become a pastor in America in a very small church with a congregation of about 30 people. And this is her story. I'd been there 3 weeks when a member of the church called me and said, "Rosemary, my aunt has fallen and broken her hip. She's 85 and hasn't been able to go to church for some time. She doesn't have a pastor. Do you think you could go and see her?" Oh, would I? I was so excited. My first official pastoral duty at a hospital. She gave me the number of the room and I hurried off. I made my way down to the room I'd been given. I looked in and there she was, her leg up in traction, the weight hanging off the end of the bed. I went round the bed, reached in, took her hand and said, "Hi, my name's Rosemary Brown, and I've come to see how you're doing today." She smiled and said, "Good." Then I listened to her life story. She'd lived in Dixon on a large farm with her husband. He'd died 8 years ago, and she couldn't take care of the farm by herself. So she'd moved to Nashville to an assisted living apartment. And then she said, "And clumsy old me," she said, "I turned round too fast, fell over, broke my hip, and here I am, strung up like a convict in chains." Rosemary looked down at her watch. "Oh, I've been here 45 minutes. They told us at the seminary never to stay over 15 minutes on a first visit. Oh well, I've blown it by 30 minutes already." I reached in, took her hands and said, "I've got to go now. But would you like to have a prayer before I go?" "Sure," she said, and she closed her eyes. And I closed mine and began, "Dear God, please be with Mrs. Morgan." I felt a little tap come on my shoulder, and I opened one eye and looked at her, and she whispered, "My name's Mrs. Jones, dear, but you go on with your prayer." I started over. "Dear God, please be with Mrs. Jones." When I finished, I leaned over in the bed and hugged her goodbye, knowing that now I was going to have to go and find Mrs. Morgan and start all over again. I left the room and a nurse was standing there and she had tears running down her face and she said, "I don't know who you are, but Mrs. Jones has been in this hospital for 2 weeks and you're the very first visitor she's had. For 45 minutes, I'd been in the wrong room, but at exactly the right time. God will place us where we need to be, when we least expect it, and then we're responsible for doing the rest. So go on, go and tell, and shine a light. Amen."
Well, thank you, Annette. That was lovely, especially the last bit. So if you'd like to stand, please, we can sing our next hymn, which is number 150, "Hail to the Lord's Anointed." who'd like to sit or kneel, and then Ruth will come and pray with us.
Lord, open our eyes to your presence, open our ears to your message, and open our hearts to your love. Open our minds to your wisdom, that we may hear and receive your word. Lord, you created us in love, and you gave your Son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
At this time of the year, when the first shoots of new life are emerging in our gardens and the evenings are becoming lighter, we give thanks for the beauty of nature all around us. We are pleased to live in such beautiful surroundings, and we pray for those who are not so fortunate. We pray for those who are worried about increasing energy bills and rising prices, and whether they will be able to make ends meet. Be with them and surround them with your love and compassion to help them ease their worries. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We give thanks for the Christmas that we have enjoyed, spending time with our families, friends, and loved ones, and making special memories. We look forward to the coming months when we can spend more time with those that are precious to us. We are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
As we look at the way of the world, help ease our worries for the uncertain economic future, and give us courage to have confidence in decisions made by those in authority. We pray that your teaching about loving our enemies will help divided communities find common ground and heal divisions. We are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We give thanks for our community, and we pray that in our community we may continue to share and help each other, and we ask that you watch over all of us. We give you thanks for all those who have been a strength and a support to us in our lives, and for all those who have transformed our lives by their goodness. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Give strength to all who are caring for loved ones, to all who are ill and unwell, and comfort all those who have lost loved ones recently. We give thanks and pray for those on the road to recovery, and we pray for those whose road to recovery is not easy or straightforward. We pray for all those known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, and we bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We give you thanks for our families and all those that we love. Let us savour and enjoy the time we spend with our families and friends, and let us be filled with warmth and joy that you are in our lives. Above all, be with those who are not able to be with us, Lord, and be with us, Lord, wherever we are. We are all in your hands. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. And before we stand to say the words of our creed, let's say the Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done,
on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So if you'd please like to stand, and we'll say the words of the Creed on the final sheet of page of our service. So let us declare our faith in God.
We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And so we have our final hymn, which is number 139, God of Grace and God of Glory. Of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service, the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen.